Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a happy new year to all. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of April 19th and 20th. And we all know in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, when a season opens, indeed calls for a New Year's celebration, the 2025 turkey season actually opens today with the youth turkey hunt. Good luck to all you youngsters out there. Shoot straight. There's plenty of birds out there. The season runs all the way through May 23rd. You have all the different segments. A, B, C, D, and E is the Saturday segments. That's going to be April 26th, May 3rd, 10th, and 17th. Go to njfishandwildlife.com or go to Digest for all the information on that. Oh, 10 days and counting. I haven't had a chance to get out yet. Hopefully going to get out sometime this coming week. 10 days left in the April tog season. That's going to shut down until, I think, August when it goes to reopens for one fish. Right now, you can still get the four fish there. Plenty of tog out there. They are moving in. Check those jetties out around AC and around Barnegat. There are plenty of tog out there. Don't forget, next weekend coming up is the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, South Jersey Sportsmen's Jamboree. We're going to have two segments about that on this show. Some special guests coming up. Also, very special guest, John Prochnow. He is the Research and Development Director for the Berkeley Baits Division of Pure Fishing. Talking about some new Gulp and Power Bait products out there. So grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hit the open road. Cruise down to Boardwalk Honda in Egg Harbor Township and spring into savings this April. Hop behind the wheel and enjoy the smooth ride of a 2025 Honda HR-V. Lease it for just $299 a month for 36 months or finance one for 3.99% APR financing for up to 48 months. Or if you really want to elevate your springtime style, spring into a new 2025 Honda CR-V. Lease for only $365 a month or finance for 2.99% APR financing. There's no time like now to lock into your spring savings. Boardwalk Honda has the largest in-stock inventory in the region with over 200 Honda cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for immediate delivery. No waiting, no delays. Start your spring adventure today only at Boardwalk Honda. Visit them on Tilton Road in Egg Harbor Township or at BoardwalkHonda.com today before these savings are gone. 36-month lease, 10,000 miles per year, $995 due at sign. Must lease through Honda Financial Services. Excludes tax, title, and dot fee. Not all buyers qualify. See dealer for details.
Need your business to stand out from the competition? At Copiers Plus and CP Creative. They've got your back when it comes to all things commercial printing. From high-quality marketing materials, banners and business cards, to blueprints and reprographic services. Their commercial printing division handles it all. But wait, there's more. Take your branding on the road with CP Creative's vehicle graphics and wrap services. Whether you need a full vehicle wrap, eye-catching decals, or branded fleet graphics, they'll help turn your cars, trucks, and vans into mobile billboards that work for you 24/7. From blueprint printing to repro graphics, stunning vehicle wraps, and top-notch marketing materials, Copiers Plus and CP Creative are your one-stop shop for taking your business to the next level. Call Copiers Plus and CP Creative today at 609-645-7587 or visit them at copiersplus.com. Copiers Plus and CP Creative. Precision printing, bold branding.
Copiers Plus. Service is our specialty.
Progressive knows when you're in your RV, you're already on vacation. That's when you become vacation you, who just camped where there's absolutely no shade. Even though regular you burns easily. In fact, vacation you burns too, but is too stubborn to admit it, which is why regular you gets in trouble at the dermatologist because vacation you doesn't do doctors. So bundle your RV with your home or auto policy and earn an automatic discount from Progressive. And spend the savings on the both of you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Testing, testing.
We are live from Chick-fil-A.
This is Grant.
And this is Laura.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich is that sweet bun.
And that chicken filet was perfectly crispy and soft at the same time.
And that Smokehouse Barbecue sauce, it's a lot of fun. And the brown sugar bacon definitely had a little bit more pizzazz. Also, the Mac, one of the all-time greats. Man, I'm getting hungry.
Order the Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich and our Coca-Cola on the Chick-fil-A app for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
My name is William Yank. I'm a 23-year-old, three-time leukemia survivor. Leukemia Lymphoma Society was this unforeseen blessing for me because I wouldn't have been able to get CAR T-cell therapy. ways that I advocate for cancer is probably mostly through my podcast and my Instagram or TikTok. It's so vitally important that we have Leukemia Lymphoma Society on our side.
To give or get help, visit lls.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, I know it's turkey time. Turkey time. Happy New Year. More and more, especially with this TSS, this new shot, more and more talk, more and more movements are being made leaning towards the use of non-lead ammunition. Okay, that's a big whoa. What's this all about? Now, we had it back in the 70s, early 80s with the, you know, going to steel and then all the, you know, the bismuth, all the variations of that because of the lead poisoning to the waterfowl. This movement started out west, of course, out there, about banning lead ammunition for big game hunting, banning lead ammunition for, you know, small game, things like that. So, again, mandated or voluntary. Well, don't forget, next Saturday is the State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs South Jersey Sportsmen's Jamboree over there in Elk Township at the Dream Park Equestrian Center in Gloucester County. My guest who's patiently waiting, he's in Nashville right now, but he's patiently waiting on the Rack and Fin Radio line right now, will be there to talk about this. His name is Adam Miller. He is the Northeast Programs Manager for the North American Non-Lead Partnership. Now, one operative word in there is going to be in there. It's going to start with a V. We're getting through in the conversation. This came up. I was at a Fish and Game Council meeting last month, and Frank Virgilio, the chairman of the council, retired CEO down in the Southern District. Great guy. Man, just a cool guy. I won't get it pissed off, though, man. But we're talking back and forth about this. He gave me Adam's number, and it's an intriguing organization. Am I all for it? I don't know. I still have boxes of ammo that have rabbit and pheasant loads and quail and dove loads. That's how old I am. So, it may be a tough sell for my part. Hey, I know how effective is this TSS. I've seen it work. I know how successful Black Cloud is, things like that, these derivatives. But Adam's going to talk about the partnership. Also, some Peregrine Group. Falconry is cool. Sorry, man. I get very verbose, Miller. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Hey, how are things down in Nashville, man?
Oh, it's awesome. It is awesome.
Hey,
Mecca down here.
Anybody asking about me?
Everyone.
To say that, people you don't realize. See, the man knows. Okay, Adam, on a serious note, about this, pretty intriguing. I went on the site. A lot of state fish and wildlife, fish and game agencies, whatever, are signing on to this. You have the Wild Turkey Federation, even Trout Unlimited. The whole thing, getting lead out of the environment and the mission statement. I have to ask you right off the bat, Adam, is this lead thing really, when it comes to the big game and the upland game, really a critical crisis, like they say, the climate crisis, whatever? Is it reaching crisis proportions? What's the deal?
Yeah, you know, it was something that I think it kind of was shocking for a lot of researchers that are also hunters.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about, like, waterfowl, a lot of times people were thinking, you know, the ducks were out there and they were grabbing lead shot and using it as grit to help digest things. And what they learned is, you know, when people are out hunting, particularly like big game hunting, they're shooting an animal with a lead bullet, those bullets fragment and split apart and end up in gut piles that particularly scavenging wildlife, like scavenging birds, are eating, and it can kill them, or it can have serious health impacts. So, you know, what I do is I actually work for the North American Non-Lead Partnership, and our whole goal is to provide education and information and incentives to people so we can protect people's choices to be able to, you know, get lead out of the food chain, so to speak. And that's the important part, is making sure that it's a voluntary thing and not some sort of a ballot box initiative from special interest groups that try to ban lead ammo.
Well, as it just happened in Maryland, it was knocked down, some anti-groups. Right. So it's almost like a double-edged sword. I mean, again, here's the word, the operative word, voluntary.
Yes.
Because when it's mandated, that gets people's asses in the air. But let me ask you this, Miller. Have there been cases, have they found
piles of dead bald eagles, golden eagles, red tail hawks from directly attributed to lead poisoning?
They actually found that the number one leading cause of death and the number four leading cause of death for golden eagles, number one leading cause of death for bulls and number four leading cause of death for golden eagles is poisoning. And over half of those poisoning events are attributed to lead poisoning.
Well,
and it's lead getting in through that food chain.
How long have these studies been going on?
Whew, that was a study that actually looked at the mortalities or the deaths of eagles from like 1975 to like 2013.
Uh-huh.
So quite a bit of time. But yeah.
Well, so you got a lot of investors and listeners, as you know, man. I'll tell you, you're biting. I eat the thighs and the legs. I'm a total carnivore when it comes, especially $40 for a pheasant, Sam. Everything's getting eaten, man. Even the feathers end up in the pudding sometimes. But you bite down, and there's a lead pellet, number six or number four, dug in, and you didn't see. Oh, yeah, that's not fun. But have they found, has that ever happened to you? Or is it possible that people, like you're enjoying your elk loin or venison backstrap or whatever, steak, and you're going to, you know, get a piece of buckshot in there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a lifelong hunter, so I've grew up in PA and have hunted since I was 12 years old. And, you know, I still continue to hunt. And, yeah, I've probably got my fair share. But, you know, the big thing I tell people is we all have the choice as to, you know, whether or not we want to eat, you know, eat those meals that might have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bald eagle doesn't have the choice when they're eating that gut pile, and that's a great food source for them. And,
sure.
And they do get lead. You know, that's something that they don't necessarily have the choice. But we as hunters, whether that's, you know, using something like lead-free ammo or just making sure that carcass that might have lead in it isn't available for scavengers to eat, that's something that we can do as hunters, and that's why we're part of the partnership, and we, you know, work together as hunters to provide education and information so people can make those choices.
Yeah, join us on the Rackenfin line this morning, April 19th, and he's calling from Nashville, but he will be in South Jersey next Saturday. It's Adam Miller, Northeast Programs Manager for the North American Non-Lead Partnership. Well, Adam, has there been pushback from sportsmen's groups or other fishing game agencies, things like that? Like, hey, man, this is like a step, you know, the camel's nose under the tent type thing. Just playing devil's advocate here, because the anti is sort of, hey, man, yeah, if we can ban lead, then we can go this, and then we could, you know what I mean? It's just that domino effect. We're paranoid. We're paranoid.
And rightfully so, right? You know, we saw out west when California ended up banning lead hunting ammunition. You know, that was something that hunters were upset about, and that was that was something that they weren't really part of that decision-making process, which is kind of where the partnership got its roots, is in the state of Arizona,
right,
where they found they went the completely opposite realm, and they said, we're going to provide information and we're going to educate folks. And the great thing about it is when you look in Arizona, what they did is they've had over 87% of folks participating in either getting gut piles out of the food chain that have lead in it or folks using lead-free ammo. And what that has done is that's allowed hunters to be able to kind of stave off and avoid those ballot box initiatives from special interest groups that wanted to do something similar to California.
There you go. Exactly right. So, listen, the option is up to you. Right now, there's no mandate, as Frank Virgilio told me last month. Listen, you're going to meet Adam at the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Club, South Jersey Sportsman's Jamboree. It's going to be next Saturday, the 26th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. the Dream Part Equestrian Center, 400 Route 130, South Logan Township, there in Gloucester County. Go to the State Federation of Sportsmen's Club website, whatever, and you'll get all the information. It's going to be a great event, bringing it back after 20-something years. Well, Adam, let me run this by, because I see TU Trout Unlimited is also a member. Now, I know there's been groups such as them that want to ban lead fishing sinkers. Anything to do with lead in an aqueous environment. Is your group involved with that?
Most of what we've been involved in is with hunting, and a lot of it has been hunting ammunition. I think there's some work that folks have been doing out there for talking about lead-free fishing tackle, but we've been doing more of like the hunting ammunition aspect of things.
Okay, now the PR for this. I mean, you're going to be here at the how are you? I hate this term. It's so reaching out. How are you reaching out to the hunting fraternities across the country with this?
You know, we do all kinds of different stuff. I travel all around the Northeast. I do workshops with people, particularly a lot of like your hunting leaders that are out there. Mm-hmm. We actually go out into the range and we do ballistics testing. We look at the difference between lead and lead-free ammunition. We shoot ballistic gels and look at the performance. We do a ton of work on online. Or working through podcasts. I know we've been on the Meat Eater podcast and the podcast through Andy Newberg and Safari Club International. We do a lot of different engagements, but I'll say the biggest thing that we do is we work with, you know, state fish and game agencies or fish and wildlife agencies to figure out how to best reach hunters in their public. And that's kind of how we start out and work with folks. Talking to the people that are out there connected with them.
See, what I really appreciate is the sweat equity involved in this. It's not just a knee-jerk reaction. You know, we have, like California, we have to ban this, ban that. So, I don't know. Listeners, you're going to meet Adam next Saturday at the Jamboree. You're going to be a busy guy there, bro. South Jersey is big-ass hunting country.
Nice. And, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
And from the waterfowl end now, and then listen, this is what it's come down to. Like, why avoid the headache? We love in October, we head up to our one little spot up there in North Jersey. It's been a tradition since I was a youngster. When there, it's a combination that one special weekend into the next week, they're stocking trout. The North Zone waterfowl season's over and squirrel season. I love my squirrel hunting. And came to, okay, now we have the number six shed. We got the lead for sure. We got this. Now it's just a matter of, okay, because you're walking along, for example, the Flatbrook or whatever, and there's some woodies there. Well, you're squirrel hunting, and there's two, and season's open. You can't shoot them. So now we just go with, we're using the Kent Fast Steel, which is a badass load within 30 yards. Yeah. So there are alternatives out there that are effective. The thing people talk about, well, now the cost. For example, a TSS, what's that, $10 a shell? Mary, Mother of God, and all the saints.
Yeah.
But the effectiveness outweighs the cost to me. And the overall benefit, I'm not one of these eco-freaks, but it is, listen, and I did my research on this, the lead is a problem. It is getting across, it's influencing the habitat especially. So it's a reflexive reaction there and right down the line. So this is a step in the right direction, Miller, as long as it's not if it comes to that, then that's when bad blood starts. It gets mixed, man.
Exactly. Don't, couldn't agree more, which is why we advocate so hard to make sure that we provide information so people can make choices and we can protect those choices for hunters. That's probably one of the most important things.
Give that website, please, or Facebook, or Instagram, Hotagram, whatever these grams are. Go, bro.
it's nonleadpartnership.org. You can also look us up on Facebook and Instagram just by looking up the North American Nonlead Partnership.
Adam, I spoke to a wildlife pathologist. I was not being dramatic here, but he says, Tommy P., listen, even the tiniest fragments of lead will be or can impact, you know, getting the bloodstream. It may not cause instant death, but like really wax them out. It can be very injurious. And I'm like, save the animal. I'm not one of those. Believe me, I like my lead loads, but this sounds like a good idea. I'll have a discussion when we're out there. Now, real fast, we're up against a break, Miller. Tell us about the peregrines, man. That's a badass falcon. man.
One of the founding organizations is that's part of the partnership is the Peregrine Fund, which is a group that was originally founded and made up of falconers. We get to go out and do some falconry hunts. And if you haven't ever seen a peregrine falcon, they're the fastest animal in the world. I think they're clocked at over 240 miles an hour. And we'll take out the peregrines.
I saw an exploding hit of a peregrine. I don't know if it was a buffalo head or what, but, man, that was impressive. You thought there was a cruise missile hit a plane or something, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom. But I'm a fan of the Red Tails. New Jersey has a Falconers Association. Chef is still alive. I don't even know. Shout out to Paul Totten down there in Cape May County. I was with him on a photo shoot for something, doing a video, and he had a Red Tail that he had nursed back to help whatever, and I forget what her name was. But, man, I said, what happened to that that Red Tail, whatever? Hawks, Falcons, different. He said she went after a squirrel. Unlike rabbits, squirrels fight to the death. Kick their ass. But she's all better now. But that whole falconry thing is just outrageously sharp, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, Mr. Miller, so we're going to see you next Saturday at the South Jersey Sportsman's Jamboree. This is going to be 9 to 5, 400 Route 130 South Logan Township at the Dream Park in Gloucester County. Go to the State Federation of Sportsman's Club website to get the skinny on that. See you next week. Travel safe, bro.
Thanks.
Catch you later.
Bye.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station. Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Another western state makes it a little bit tougher to get the firearm of your choice. Colorado's governor puts another purchase obstacle for those wanting to buy semi-automatic rifles. Such rifles remain the most popular rifle in the U.S. The new law signed by Governor Jared Polis would require anyone wanting to buy a semi-automatic rifle in Colorado to pass a firearm safety course once every 5 years. A certificate of some sort would be needed to be presented when purchasing the firearm, and anything dated more than 5 years ago won't be considered valid. Yes, it can be renewed, but renewals need to involve the local sheriff's office. The permit could cost someone at least $300. Opponents of the law argue that keeping track of who passes a safety course for the sole purpose of purchasing a specific type of firearm amounts to a registry. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Hi, I'm your kid's old jeans. I've been in the drawer for a while and really missed the playground. You should swing by Goodwill and drop me off. Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. Plus, I can get back into the game. Donate today. Tag, you're it.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious weekend of April 19th and 20th. God, this fourth turn of the calendar page, probably along with September, October, November, December, January, probably one of my favorite months. Let me tell you, at my age, every day on the calendar is a great day. Now, we're going to kick it in again about the Sportsman's Federation Jamboree next Saturday. The Deer Classic, the 35th annual Whitetail Deer Classic, showcasing New Jersey's beautiful, beautiful trophy bucks, will be run there. And joining us on the line right now, who is in charge of the classic, is Linda DiPiano, supervising biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Information and Education, and one dynamic young lady. Piano, how you doing, DiPiano? Listen, I'm playing the keys, girl.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great. Next week, the classic. Now, I'm going to be there with my big pile of funnel cakes. Wade Stein, that challenge is still on, but if my blood pressure doesn't come down, we're going to have to cancel it. But look, that classic is just, I mean, when you have it at the other, it's just a big draw, and people are still amazed at the quality of the deer in this fifth smallest and most densely populated of states.
Exactly, exactly. We'll have 26 mounts coming in this year. We actually had 36 participants put in their mounts, but only 26 people will be able to bring their mounts in. They'll be able to come down there. But, oh, my God, some of these mounts, the pictures that these participants have sent in to me that I've seen so far, they're beautiful. So everybody come on down, come see these mounts, come to the Jamboree. The Sportsman's Federation is offering so much things to do there. So bring your family. Come on down and see everything.
Linda, for the classic, now, What the steps that are involved? I remember when Sydney Kintzner, I hope she's happy in her retirement, running around like crazy. The scoring and everything. How's that taken care of? Does the Bureau of Wildlife Management do that? Who does the scoring, et cetera, and all the steps involved?
Our official measurers, it could be some people that work for Fish and Wildlife. It could be some volunteer scorers and measurers. We have a list of measurers on our website. So they have to be Boone and Crockett official scorers. So they have to go through a class offered by Boone and Crockett. So as long as they are trained by that class, they can score your deer. Then they have to fill out the official scoring form that is on our webpage.
Okay.
And then they send that in to me with a photo that was taken in the field of when they mm-hmm. harvested the buck. And if it, fills out all of the qualifications, then they are in the outstanding deer program, and then they're qualified to be in the deer classic. And it's always the hunting season prior to the year of the classic. So this is the 2025 deer classic. So it's the 2023-24 hunting season that is in the 2025 classic.
Lizzie, you want to see some of the results of that? Go on page 73 of the 23-24 digest, or 24-25 digest. But here are the categories. Youth typical crossbow, youth typical muzzleloader, 135-pound doe muzzleloader, typical archery, non-typical archery velvet, which is, that to me is the holy grail. And that getting a deer that big in velvet.
We have another one this year.
Yep. Typical crossbow, non-typical crossbow, typical muzzleloader, and typical shotgun. A lot of categories. And I have some fantastic, just great deer hunters, men and women involved. Shout out to Virginia Murphy, who hunts up there in a great swamp. Mary, Mother of God and all the saints, does she get some monsters? But again, look, going back to the quality of deer hunting points to the superior management, the progressiveness of Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Wildlife Management. Of course, there's always belly aching here and there, not enough this, not enough that. But on the overall, our deer hunting for our size is geographic size is incredible. And considering you have almost 750,000 of acres of public land, sometimes you need a special permit, whatever, to hunt deer. It's mind boggling.
Exactly. We have over 750,000 acres of public land alone in this state. And that includes 360,000 acres of wildlife management areas that Fish and Wildlife manages.
Yep.
And that's 122 wildlife management areas, which you can find maps of all those areas on our website. And you can also find of the public land, that includes 27 state parks as well, national wildlife refuges, county parks, municipal parks. And you can find all of that information. We have a webpage on public hunting land in New Jersey, public deer hunting land in New Jersey. So all that information is on our webpage. But we manage those, especially our lands, we manage those lands for deer, turkey, bear, all these animals. So there is plenty of availability everyone to get out there and hunt.
We're speaking with Linda DiPiano. She is a supervising biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Information and Education. Talk is the Deer Classic that's going to be held next Saturday at the, I'm looking at the flyer. I'm just sweating. I can't wait to get there. New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, South Jersey Sportsmen's Jamboree. Shout out to Tommy Weiss and Wade Stein, those people involved with the Federation. This is a monster thing to put together. Listen, it's going to be the Dream Park in Gloucester County, 400 Route 130 South Logan Township. We'll get into more of that now later and also next week. But DPN, let me tell you something. The Lands Management Cruise for DEP's Fish and Wildlife, North, Central, and South, these crews worked their asses off. You got great biologists in there. You got great techs. You have great workers. And they have our wildlife managers, we're applicable, have some of the best deer habitats going. And then don't forget, when you mention the public lands, you have the Delaware Water Gap up there north. You have the Wallkill Refuge. Jersey's a cornucopia for deer. Hey, listen, getting permission on public land sometimes is almost impossible. You have the clubs and whatever. But man, there's nothing wrong with, again, that's a challenge, getting trophy bucks on public land, and there are plenty out there.
Exactly. And the one thing I would mention on public land, though, is just make sure you do call the offices if it's not our properties. Just make sure you do call someone to make sure you can hunt there and if you do need permission. I just don't want anybody getting in trouble, you know?
Absolutely.
Just make sure you can.
Again, the thing, too.
I want to keep everybody.
Well, Leonard, which is just gets so confusing, too, because from what I understand, landowners aren't obligated to post their land. When I was a kid growing up, it had to be every 50 yards or something with a name, address, whatever. Now, I don't know. Now it's kind of crazy. But listen, again, Linda's making a point. Make sure of where you're hunting. And then.
Yeah. And our apps, our WAMA map application and our hunting application, our maps that are on our website, that shows all that. So hunters can use that to their advantage. And they could see what is available out there, what's public land, what's private land. And then they can use that to see, okay, do I need to call to see what, do I need permission? Is that land, if I walk over on this side of the road, is that private? Is that public? Is that municipal? So
right.
Use those applications that are on our website to your advantage to see what is going on in your area.
Okay, Linda, back to the classic now that's going to be held next Saturday, listeners, at the Federation of Sportsmen's Club, South Jersey Sportsmen's Jamboree. Well, that's a mouthful. I have a big mouth.
Yes,
I tell you. But the deer are going to be on display. Are there going to be biologists there can interact and ask about, you know, hunting questions about properties and land management and stuff? I mean, it's going to be interactive in that regard?
Yeah, I'll be there. So information education will be there. Wildlife management will be there. Land management will be there. I believe Bureau of Marine Fisheries will be there as well.
DiPiano, let me interrupt you a second.
Sure.
Question, is Al Ivany going to be there?
I believe so, yes.
Ivany! Whoa!
He's my supervisor.
Yeah, we started way back when. I hadn't seen Al in 25 years. I'm at the Fisher Game Castle meeting. I said, that guy looks, he's another one, timeless. Then he's lost his ponytail a little bit. But man, he's active as ever. Oh, boy.
Yes.
He'll see me coming. He can't hide quickly enough. Well, Linda, we look forward to seeing you next week. This is the Deer Classic. If you're a deer hunter, you just take a look at these bucks. And Linda, those are the ones that are shown. Imagine some of the ones that people don't report. I mean,
Exactly. So I tell everybody, you know, if you think you have one, send me the application. Put in your scoring form. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I saw some deer checked in. One I'll never forget. It's in size forever in my memory. Up in Jumbo Land on Route 206. What's that?
Jumbo
Newton,
Land.
Or
yeah,
something like that.
I worked check station there when we had check stations.
Yeah, and then and some other ones down central. And then went way back when the Great Pickle Lily Inn, back in the early 80s, they had check stations there. And you always heard down there, oh, the Pine Barrens deer aren't big. Well, the farmlands around the Pine Barrens get some big deer. And then northern Cape May into Cumberland County, those farm countries down, Salem. We have some monster deer, but it's not, you're not, you know, people, you know, I'm not telling you, you're not going to go, well, maybe you are if you have your own little sweet spot. Go 50 yards off the road, sit down and expect to kill a trophy buck, but they are there.
Wait till you see some of the deer on Saturday, because some of those deer are from a lot of them are from South Jersey.
Yeah, it's, so, we have it here. We have
they're
the
gorgeous.
It is. Linda DiPiano, thanks for joining us at Rack. Is this the first or second time you're on? About the third time?
Probably the third, because I used to talk about open house when we had open house at PeaQuest.
Hey, yeah, what's up with that?
Yep.
Is that coming back?
Maybe not.
And what about that great thing you had in September there? First you had an Aspen thing, then you had a Collier's Mills.
The Expo.
Yeah, come on, that was a great thing.
Because we now have the education trailer, that large education trailer.
We're going
where the people are. So we're going to a lot of the others, like the county fairs and, you know, all the educational things that the outside people are doing. So we're going to the people.
Fantastic. Hey, Linda, look forward to seeing you next week.
I look forward to seeing you too,
Listen,
Tom.
When
see
you
Saturday.
When you feel the ground rumbling, it's not an earthquake. It's me getting close. You take care, Linda DiPiano.
Sounds
see you next
good,
week.
Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen, again, go to State Federation of Sportsmen's Club's website to get information on the Jamboree. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be interviewing some of the exhibitors there Hopefully we're going to get the studio early next week and see while they're setting up and see what's going on. It's going to be a great time. Now, I understand next year it's going to be up in North Jersey. Hey, make it mobile. Then Central Jersey. Jersey, small state, easy to get to pretty much everywhere. Grab that cup. Grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. The U.S. Supreme Court issued a ruling early today blocking, at least temporarily, the deportations of any Venezuelans held in northern Texas under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Fox's Gary Baumgarten.
The justices instructed the Trump administration to not remove Venezuelans held in the Blue Bonnet Detention Center until further order of the court. Justices Thomas and Alito dissented.
It follows an emergency appeal from the ACLU. Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen met with Kilmar Abrego Garcia, deported to El Salvador with suspected gang members. Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn criticizes a meeting on Fox's Hannity.
It is time to stop this, putting those illegally in the country before citizens.
Oregon Democratic Representative Maxine Dexter says she'll travel to El Salvador to try to secure Garcia's release. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Today, breezy and warmer with a mix of clouds and sun. A beautiful day to kick off the weekend with a high up to 86. Now, there'll be a shower in spots this evening. Otherwise, it's breezy and warm overnight with increasing clouds, the low of 63. Not as warm, but very pleasant for us on Sunday with partly sunny skies, the high 74. Then cooler Monday, partly sunny, the high down to 63. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Jason Cavanaugh. Arena on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, trout season been going on, and we know everyone, it's about everyone I see through my South Jersey, Central, and North Jersey travels. Yes, I probably put on since opening day, I probably put on maybe 2,000 miles up and down the Garden State and fishing some of these South Jersey waters, especially South Jersey trout fishing. Synonymous with rooster tails, some trout magnets, and power bait. And now the power bait, I'm saying not the power bait, the Berkeley gulp doe trout baits. Making inroads here, there, and everywhere. But we know when it comes to the opening of the fluke season, what's it going to be, May? I think it's a Sunday, May 4th. What's going to be in the back? You know, 99.999% of the anglers back there are going to be using some form of Berkeley gulp. Gulpsman, it set the standard. There's a lot of imitators. There's some good baits out there, but nothing comes close to the results of the gulp. And gulp has a new, actually a pair, there's two of them out, but the one that really caught the big fat man's here's attention is the Berkeley gulp turbo shrimp. Tom, another shrimp? Damn right. And this shrimp looks absolutely deadly. How can they improve on the shrimp? They did it. Join us on the right now. Very special guest, longtime professional and personal acquaintance is Johnny Prock. Now, he's been the director for research and development for baits for Berkeley, the Berkeley Division of Pure Fishing. Yes, power bait and gulp is synonymous with this man. He is, besides being a great guy, he is one badass hell of a fisherman. Johnny Prock now, long time. Thanks for coming back on Rack and Fin, making time. How you doing, big brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again. It's always a pleasure.
John, we're going to talk the shrimp, but listeners, there's a bait out there that we're going to be using. My order's already in the back for the stripers. And even though it's supposed to be a big bass, freshwater bass bait, this thing is going to just kick striper ass in the back. It's going to, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But, John, the turbo shrimp, you have another shrimp with a nemesis tail, correct?
Correct.
And that looks pretty good. But the shrimp, the something about the bottom strut, the whole design on this, it looks the same, but it's just different enough. I think this is going to be, if you can imagine that, listeners, a game changer in the back for the early through mid-season flounder.
I think you're right, Tom, because we pulled this in from our Australian market. We've been field testing that down there in Australia, and they've had a similar nemesis tail and turbo tail down there in the shrimp for a few years now, and it's been so popular that we've brought it up to our market, too, and think it's going to do really well.
Procky, let me ask you this, Procky. How come the Aussies always get the first bite of the apple here? What's up? What's wrong with us? Come on. Come on here, bro. Come on, bro. I know you're a worldwide company. We know that, but yeah, down here, but this the Nemesis tail find just this go into those legs thing. What this whole listen? You can go online and find it, but this is just a badass bait, man.
Good. We use the boys down under as a field testing barometer, and then if the bad stuff that gets weeded out, we only take the good stuff up here.
Yeah, the shrimp, John, now, listen, you work this on a jig head, you work on a bear hook. It just, it's going to have the gulp sink, correct? But, John, I think the movement's going to be a little different. Those little legs kicking up mud or something. It's going to be limit's only three, but it's going to be a limit maker for sure.
Yeah, we made sure we had some good action off those legs on there to give it a little more action. Like you said, if you're down on the bottom, just rooting around a little bit, dragging it, it'll kick up a little bit more mud, but really wanted to get some of that visual effect to it too.
John, the other saltwater Berkeley baits, again, you can't keep them on the pegs. You know, the colors, have you winnowed some of the colors? It's some years are available, other times are not, and then the new colors are here. How do you guys go about doing this? The testing again, then Aussie, southern part of the country, what?
Yeah, on colors, we're always trying to get new technologies, new colors. And you know how colors are. They're a little bit finicky depending on the environmental conditions, sun, water, waves, all that type of stuff, turbidity. But trying to get the colors out there that catch the angler's eye, number one, but also turn the fish so they get a little bit more flash or something down there because you got to catch their attention.
John, the one thing that's been past couple of years and people look at me like, what? I said, and finally, I'm going to be able to get the black bling in. That, John, that's I've used that, but that's been a killer. But, John, believe it or not, again, you have Myriad. The new penny's always popular, the electric chicken, whatever. That curry chicken? Holy God, man. That thing is a monster. You know, shallow, mid, or deep. John, about, again, you have the glows or whatever. The seeing the gulp down, the guys that are after the doormats and area rugs, 50, 60 feet, do all the Berkley, the big grubs, the 6-inch, 8-inch grub, do they have that the glow built in? I mean, does a new penny, will that be visible down there as much as the glow will or the chartreuse or the white?
It depends. The glow is always going to be in deeper water, more visible from a greater distance because of the glow. Now, does the glow always attract fish or does it spook some fish? There's a controversy right there.
Mm-hmm.
Too much glow? Don't know. So I'll leave that up to you and the field people out there and the anglers to determine that because I've always been one that I go a little bit more subtle on my glow because mm-hmm. I've had times where I think maybe it spooks some fish to be that high in glow, but I can't prove that.
John, the power bait technology versus the gulp technology, and then you have the I'll tell you this, with the power bait, John, again, I've used the power minnows and everything, and the power eggs for the trail, whatever, and the gulp. The plastisol versus the non, how do they work? The fish have to grab this first to taste it and then hold on, or what's the deal?
Well, with power bait, it is more of a taste type thing. They need to get a little bit closer and touch the bait a little bit to get a real taste of it. Whereas with the gulp and or even some of the ones we've touched on before, the Max Scent.
Mac, I was just going to ask you about the Max Scent. Yeah, that was like a hybrid. That was a badass Grand Slam shot there, Procky.
Yeah, we get the water gets to more diffuse through it. It's very similar to gulp, other than it does have the more durability and things like that that the power baits have. So the Max Scent's kind of hybrid between power bait and gulp. Gulp gives you the most scent and flavor and the a water-based system, whereas the Max Scent is got scent and flavor and water diffuses through it, but it's still the PVC-based system.
John, let me ask you this. Back to, listen, I'm bouncing. To get Procky once a year is amazing. To get him, so I'm all over the place here. John, back to the trout baits real fast. The gulp dough, and the turbo does and the power bait does and the nuggets. I mean, in the nuggets and the does is the same amount of scent in there. For example, you put a little ball on a octopus hook, you know, as opposed to a nugget. The scent, do they measure that as per container?
Yeah, the nuggets and the dough are exactly the same formula. If you get an original power bait and it's a nugget and or the dough in the jar, they're the same formula. Once you get to gulp or some of the natural flavors and things like that in the, whether it's power bait, gulp, dough, those formulas are different because as we progress through our research and find bigger and better attractants for the fish, we actually create a subcategory, if you will. Like you'll remember, we used to have power bait tournament strength, power bait turbo dough. Now we have gulp dough and some with other flavors. People really think garlic makes a difference or anise or things like that. So we've added a little bit of that to some of them to get that little bit of added attraction.
Yeah, John, I was just going to ask you that. Again, the tinkering goes on, so you probably now you're already on the 2027 formulas. I mean, working that far ahead?
Yes. Yeah, we're tying up, getting done with the 2026s and just starting to dream about what the 2027 stuff is going to be going forward.
Okay, joining us online is John Prochnow, Director of Research and Development for Baits for the Berkeley Division of Pure Fishing, talking about the new Gulp Turbo Shrimp. Check it out. Now let's get to, and the big bass guys are going to love this, but I'll tell you, in the back, it's going to, I'll tell you, even some, you get some flounder, some aggressive big flounder there in the flats early in the season. It's called the Berkeley Nessie, and it comes in, let's see, you have 5, 7, 9, and 11 inches. In freshwater bass terminology, it's a glide bait, heavy fish, but John, I'm telling you, I've seen this thing in action. In the back, it is going to be a power bait on the striper monster killer.
That's great. You're right, Tom. It is coming out in a 5, 7, and 9 is out and available. The 11 is kind of a secret yet. Don't let anybody know we're working on that one.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, well, it's going to be out there anyway. Don't worry about it, man. Go ahead.
Just for you.
John, we have 11 colors. I saw the tail action, the design of this bait. How long in the making?
A year and a half, 2 years for a scale up in production. We've been working on the design for right at 2 years before we introduced that.
John, the movement, I've been out to the Pure Fishing and Spirit Lake. John, you have the swim pools there, the tanks and whatever to test these baits. The movement is just unbelievable. It's so lifelike. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So the realistic flowing actions. But, John, I can see this working shallow, working mid-range. This thing is just going to be a striper killer. Hate to see a bluefish going to get it. It's shred. But now, John, how does the power bait work in this? Same thing, they have to grab it? Is there any scent emanating from the Nessie itself?
I'm not going to try to pull anybody's leg. There's not a lot of scent emanating from it. It is definitely a get in the area, get it in their face, and they can touch it and be close to it and get the scent and flavor. But once they've touched it, it's done deal.
Okay, we're going to let it out. We're going to let it out. John has a couple of minutes left before he's off to the races, me as well. John, a new saltwater bait. It's been out now. The what is it called?
The Bonga Shad.
Bonga Shad. Talk about it, big brother. Go.
Hey, it's one of those soft stick baits. You can, you know, use it weightless or on a jig head. It's very similar to the straight ones that we've used in the past. It's a straight tail, not a split tail. It's killer on the stripers also, but I think you'll find a market for it with the fluke too.
And, John, one last thing before I let you go. In the Max scent, the purple, the general, that's all that's in our box, in our bags. That's it. The general. That's all we – and that it never fails to catch bass. You had a grand slammer with that one again, Proc. Now, John, just a reminder, you are in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, correct?
Yes, I got inducted in 2022, Tom.
I knew that. I just want to remind people this man is the real deal. Just an icon. I hate to say it, John, because you're still young and as aggressive as ever. But you're an icon in the industry. You changed the game for millions. You were the crew, Dr. Keith and whatever, millions and millions of anglers, John. You mentioned and made fishing so successful that more people are in it again because of these Berkeley baits.
It's been a great teamwork effort to get all this stuff. It's what drives me every day, getting up, knowing that we can make a difference to catch more fish. People have a better time. And, you know, I'm heading out tomorrow and going out and catch some more fish, too.
Hey, Proggy, where's your next venture? I mean, when you're travel. Listen, I've seen him down at the Gulf of Texas. Hey, he's all over the place. Where's your next sort of exotic testing ground?
I'm headed up to Lake Sharp, Lake Oahe in South Dakota to fish with the walleye boys up there.
Oh, yeah. When are you going?
I'm heading out tomorrow to pre-fish the tournament with the guys. And
funny, I'm going to be there, too. I'm flying into Pierce, South Dakota. I'll see you there.
All right, we'll be there.
Yeah, right.
Let's go.
If I ever showed up out there, who knows when they'll ever find me. Well, John Prock, now thanks. Congratulations on yet another just great introduction to baits. Listeners, check out for the Fluke this Gulp Turbo Shrimp. And what was that other one, John? That stick bait, the shad boo goo? What?
The bonga shad.
Bonga shad. And the John Bonga, and also this this power bait Nessie. Going to be a game changer on stripers in the back. Brocky, travel safe. Hope to have you on Rack and Fin again soon. And congratulations on making it so easy, even for me, to catch fish, John. Great job.
Thanks, Tom P.
Take care. Travel safely, bro.
You too now. Bye-bye.
See ya. Brocky, just a class act across the board. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Gulp Turbo Shrimp. And check out this Nessie.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hey, that'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Hey, good luck to the turkey hunters during this upcoming month, man. Plenty of gobblers out there. Hopefully the weather holds up. Just a reminder, I think there's still 3 or 4 spots left in the 20-bow field for the first annual Levi Baldwin Memorial Bass Fishing Tournament on Alloways Lake. It's going to be May 31st. It's in partnership with Philadelphia Bass Busters, RodFathersBass.com, Blackwater Sports, and STC Ports. It's for Ranch Hope. It's an incredible organization. Hey, listen, man. First place, $1,000. Second place, $500. Third place, $250. And a $250 Lunker prize. It's only $100 per boat. It's going to a great cause. For more information, go to ranchhope.org. Good bass fishing. Alloways, Duff Lake to fish, man. You're going to have some of the best out there. Don't forget, again, the Sportsman's Jamboree next Saturday, April 26th at the Dream Park in Gloucester County, 400 Route 130 South Logan Township. I can't wait to get there. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Check out those new Berkeley baits. Hey, man, we've got only 10 days left to catch some tog. Go to it. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.